I had a friend of mine tell me just the other day, he was talking to me and he said, you know, for so long, my life hasn't been right with God. And he said, whenever I would sit down to talk to someone that I knew was a believer that was walking with the Lord, he said, I could never look that person in the eye because I wasn't living right. I wasn't doing right. And there was such shame and I'd always look away. And when this guy was talking to me, he was looking straight into my eyes because the Lord had changed his life. And there'd been such a difference. But see, we meet the Lord face to face. We see him eye to eye. Are you going to be able to look him in the eye? You got to get right. And then you have to be sure that you're ready.
He can heal every scar.
There is coming a day when we will meet our Lord Jesus face to face. Will the life that you've lived here on earth allow you to greet him without shame? Well, it could all happen in the twinkling of an eye. This is From His Heart, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're continuing the message that he began yesterday called In the Twinkling of an Eye, exploring what God wants us to know about the second coming of Jesus. And we're specifically focusing on what is known in Christian circles as the rapture. It's from Jeff's series, Countdown to Armageddon, the Second Coming of Jesus Christ. Many people are wondering if that rapture is soon to come. Pastor Jeff has written a new booklet called How Near is the End? And it'll answer that exact question. I'll tell you how you can receive a copy later in the broadcast, or you can visit us online for more information at fromhisheart.org. But let's get right to the lesson today after a little recap from last time. Open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here's Pastor Jeff to conclude the message in the twinkling of an eye.
What does God want us to know about the rapture? This snatching away, this seizing away, this being caught up. Truth number one, the rapture is certain. It is certain. It is going to take place. You can count on it. And there's no time to get ready. You have to be ready. The Lord is coming just like he promised. He's coming for his bride. He is coming with the souls of the departed saints. See, look at verse 13 again. He says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Someone who lost a spouse was being consoled by a friend and said, I'm so sorry you lost your wife. And he said, you know, I didn't lose her because I know where she is. You can't lose something if you know where it is. And she's with the Lord in glory. And she's going to come back with him one day at the rapture. And that's exciting when you think through that way. The Lord is coming with the souls of the departed saints. And the Lord is coming to deliver us from wrath. To deliver us from wrath. What does the scripture say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10? We're to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. He pours out his wrath on a disobedient, arrogant, prideful, unbelieving world. It's a time of wrath. Scripture says in Revelation chapter 6, when it's talking about the wrath that comes during this tribulation period, that the people will hide in the caves and in the mountains. And they will say to the rocks and to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the presence of the one who sits on the throne and from the Lamb, for the day of their great wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Tribulation is a time where God pours out his wrath. You read in the book of the Revelation, you'll find out that there are seals of wrath, and then there are trumpets of wrath, and then there are bowls of wrath. And Revelation is hard to read sometimes because it's just death, 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 more death. It's misery to the nth degree. It's a time where people are praying to die, and they can't die. And they're in such terrible, horrible pain and misery. And every day is like 9/11. During the tribulation period. It's a time of wrath. The scripture says the Lord delivers us from the wrath to come. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, God hasn't destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. When does the rapture come? I believe that the rapture comes before any wrath comes. I believe that the rapture comes at the start, right before the tribulation period even begins. The Lord takes us out. When war is getting ready to take place, when one country is getting ready to attack another country, the last thing that they do before the attack takes place is they remove their folks. They remove their ambassadors. They empty out the embassy because they don't want to bomb their own people. So they remove their ambassadors. What does the Lord do before he pours out wrath on this world? He removes his people and he takes us home to be with him. He delivers us from the wrath to come. The rapture is certain. Truth number two, the rapture is spectacular. It is glorious. Look at it again, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. That's a shout of command from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. With the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now that's exciting. And there's some things that take place, exciting, exciting things that take place at the rapture. It's so glorious and so spectacular. First exciting thing is that we shall behold him. We're going to see him. We meet the Lord in the air. Now that word meet, Warren Wiersbe says that word meet has to do, it carries with it the idea of meeting someone who's very important. Meeting someone who's very special. Meeting royalty. And we're meeting royalty, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that word meet also carries with it in the root of the word meet, a face-to-face meeting. We're going to meet the Lord face-to-face. Wow. John talks about that in 1 John chapter 3. He said, we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him just as he is. Sandy Patty sings that song, we shall behold him face to face in all of his glory. You know, when the apostles would walk with Jesus, when he had his earthly ministry, they saw him every day. And the Bible says about Jesus in the book of Isaiah that, you know, he didn't look special. He didn't look like a king. He has no stately form or majesty that we should be drawn to him, no beauty that we should be attracted to him. He was just an ordinary looking guy in the days of his flesh because he covered up all his glory. You know, one time the disciples saw Jesus in all his glory. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he started to shine like the sun and they were freaking out, and Elijah and Moses were there and they didn't know what to do. And the scripture says Peter, not knowing what to say, said this. I love that. You know, Peter was one that said, if I don't know what to say, I'm going to come up with something. And so he said, Lord, let's build three tabernacles, one for you and one for Elijah, one for Moses. But they saw him in all his glory that day. John, in the book of Revelation chapter 1, he saw Jesus in all his beauty, in all his glory, in all his splendor. And you know what he did? He fell at his feet like a dead man. He was like, wow, to see God. The glory of God face to face, that happens at the rapture. We shall behold him and we shall see him just as he is. You remember in Isaiah 6 where Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up and his train fills the temple and he sees the angels with, they have six wings, with two they cover their face and with two they cover their feet and with two they flew. They cover their face. They're right there before God. And the God in Isaiah 6, the one that Isaiah saw is Jesus. Jesus. The scripture tells us that Isaiah saw Jesus. The angels hide their face from Jesus because he's so beautiful. He's so glorious. It's hard to even look upon him. It just takes your breath away. Every so often, the angels would move their wings. Wow. They'd put it back. We get to see him face to face. Fanny Crosby, the great hymn writer of the 1800s, was blinded when she was a young girl, just 2 years old, from some quack doctor that gave her a prescription that caused her to go blind, gave her a treatment that ate out her eyes. Somebody asked her one time, Fanny, are you bitter? You bitter because it was some quack doctor that put those hot poultices on your eyes that caused you to go blind? Are you bitter about that? That you've lived your whole life not seeing because of that guy? She said, no, I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter at all. She said, you know what I think about? I think about the first face that my restored eyes will see is the face of my Savior. And she said, that just excites me. We shall behold him at the rapture, and we shall be changed at the rapture. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Not everybody's going to die. Some of us are going to be alive when the Lord comes back in the air. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The last trumpet for the church will come, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. He goes on to say that this mortal must put on immortality. This perishable body must put on the imperishable in order to meet the Lord. And see, the scripture says that those who have died and are buried, we don't precede them. They come up first. Some have joked and said, well, we got a 6-foot head start. That's why they have to come up first. But I don't know why. The Lord has them come up first, and then we come up. And as we come up, and we come up, how fast? Just like that. In a moment. The Greek word for moment is atomos, A-T-O-M-O-S, atomos. It's where we get our English word atom. And one of the reasons that we chose that word atomos to get our English word atom is because for so long, scientists couldn't divide the atom. That was the smallest thing, the atom. And see, the Greek word atomos means that which can't be divided. It's the smallest amount of time. You can't divide it anymore. And that's how fast we're changed. Just boom, just like that. Quicker than you can blink, we're just gone. And we're changed. And we're made like Jesus Christ. Philippians 3, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Hey, you ever look in the mirror and you don't really like what you see? I just be honest. You look and you think, man, what has happened? I do that sometimes. I look in the mirror and think, I really am losing my hair. I mean, it's just, and there's no doubt about it. You know, really, when I was losing it, you know, guys, when you're losing your hair, you know what you do? You lie to yourself. You think, what? I mean, it's not that bad. You know, I'm not losing it that bad. I remember I saw a picture of myself one time. I was thinking, you know, I think it's holding on. It's going to be okay. I saw a picture from the back. I was like, oh, you know, it's coming all the way down to here. You know, I was hoping I'd be one of those bald guys that just recedes a little bit, and it just kind of looks dashing. And, you know, I was 26, and I was Uncle Fester. I didn't like that. Who likes that? You know, you start putting on some weight. You know, the things that you used to be able to eat, you can't eat anymore. And you just look at a donut, you gain a pound. And it's just one of those deals. And you're just like, man, and I can't play sports anymore. And my body is just wearing out. Heard about some elderly women. They were talking at the nursing home, talking about how their bodies were just failing, wearing out. One of them said, you know, my arms are so weak, I can barely lift my cup of coffee. The other lady said, my cataracts are so bad, I can barely see my coffee. The other lady said, my neck has so much arthritis, and just to move from here to here, it just hurts so bad, I can barely move my neck. And one of them said, well, ladies, look on the bright side. At least we can still drive. You know, we live in bodies that just begin to decay. Heard about a little 4-year-old boy. He got a sunburn, and he was peeling the sunburn. And he said to his mother, he said, mother, I don't understand it. I'm only 4 years old, and I'm already coming apart. And that's the way we are. We just start falling apart. But hey, the mortal puts on immortality. The perishable puts on imperishable. And the Lord just changes us like that. And we become like Jesus. You have a body like his. Jesus rode a cloud to heaven. He just ascended before the disciples. Jesus could go through walls. The doors were locked on that first day that he rose from the dead. And the disciples were in that room, and Jesus all of a sudden just appeared. Did you know that? That if you know Jesus Christ at the rapture, you get a glorified body, and you can do what Jesus can do in your body. You have a body like his, and you'll be able to ride clouds, and you'll be able to just move at the speed of light. And it's going to be so awesome and so amazing. You know what the Lord's going to give me at the rapture when I meet him in the air? A comb. I mean, it's just going to be cool. I'm excited about that. We shall be changed, and we shall be with him forever. We meet him face to face. He changes us like himself. And it says, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's a great, great promise and comfort. We'll always be with the Lord. See, when you ask Christ to come in your life, as I did when I was 17 years old, he did come in. When I gave my heart to Jesus, he gave his life to me. And the Lord was with me and has been with me ever since. And he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. But see, there's a big difference between having the Lord with us and being with him. Big difference. Let me explain to you the difference. Some years ago, I went on a mission trip to Venezuela. And we were going to Barquisimeto, Venezuela. We flew into Caracas and then we flew over to Barquisimeto and we spent a week there. And I remember when we left Houston, one of the guys that was helping me with this trip, John Howard, he had been a world traveler. He was a salesman and he went all over the world. He had to get a second passport because he had so many stamps in his first passport. They said, well, you got to get another one because we were running out of, well, there's no more room left. And so he was very skilled at travel and he had lots of points. And so he told me on our leg from Houston to Caracas, he said, Jeff, he said, let me talk to the front desk. He said, I'd like to get you upgraded to first class. I said, wow. I said, can you do that? He said, yeah, I got a lot of points. I can do that. I said, wow, cool. And so I had never flown first class before. And I was really excited. And John got me moved up on the flight from Houston to Caracas. He got me moved up to first class. And man, first class is so awesome. Have you ever flown first class? Of course not. It's too expensive. But I got to fly first class. It is great. They gave me little booties for my feet. They're like, here, take your shoes off. And they treat you like royalty. I mean, they handed me a menu on the airplane. What would you like to have, Mr. Shree? Well, let me see. And then when you're through with your meal, you know, they bring you a hot towel to kind of do that and stuff. And then I got a hot fudge sundae. It was awesome. First class. When we flew from Caracas back to Houston, he couldn't get the same deal. I had to fly and coach with the other peons. John was gracious. He said, Jeff, I want to ride with you. So he came back with me and he rode in coach with the other peons. I was sitting on the aisle seat. Beverage cart hit my knee. They handed out the meal. No menu. It was just, this is what we got. I said to the guy, I said, hey, I said, I'm kind of hungry. Is there any way if you got an extra meal that you could bring it this way? He said, what's the matter with you, man? You got a tapeworm? I'd just been to Venezuela. I thought, hope not. Don't want one. Then I thought, the nerve of that guy. Does he know who I am? I'm from first class, pal. John was with me. And coach, it was so much better when I was with him in first class. When the Lord comes back, we're going to be with him in glory. That's what's so awesome. And thus, we shall always be with the Lord.
And it will happen faster than we can blink in the twinkling of an eye. Are we really living in the last days? Listen, is Gabriel licking his lips, getting ready to blow the trumpet? Is Jesus coming soon? Pastor Jeff has written a brand new booklet that answers those questions. It's called How Near is the End? And we'd like to send you a copy as our thank you for your gift of support this month to the ongoing work of From His Heart. To receive your copy, you can make your secure donation online at fromhisheart.org or call us toll-free 800-985-1530. That's 800-985-1530. And request the booklet, How Near is the End? From Pastor Jeff Shreve. When you contact us, please let us know the call letters of this radio station. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with the conclusion of today's lesson called In the Twinkling of an Eye.
The rapture is certain. The rapture is spectacular. So what must we do? With all that we've shared today, what must we do? Number one, we must be sure we're right with him. You have to be sure you're right with God. You're right with the Lord. As a believer in Jesus, are you right with him? 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. Little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. Did you know that there are going to be those who are caught up to be with the Lord at the rapture and they're going to have shame all over their face? They're really part of the bride of Christ. They're really saved, but they hadn't been living for the Lord. And they meet him face to face. They behold him and they know that there is such sin in their hearts. They know that there is such bitterness in their hearts. They know that they haven't dealt with things. They know that they've been a horse's rear end to so many different people, and they have to meet the Lord that way. Wow. You see him face to face, eye to eye. And there's such terrible, horrible shame. You got to get things right with God. Abide in him. Walk in the light as he himself is in the light. And see, when you walk in the light, everything is open to the Lord. You don't have any doors in your heart that are closed off, sealed off, that say, Lord, you can't come in here. This is my business life, Lord. And I know I cheat in business, and I know I lie in business, and I know I tell dirty stories, and I know I take the customers out, and we go to strip joints, and we get drunk. And Lord, you can't come into that door. Man, that door's going to be flown open when you meet the Lord at the rapture. It's such terrible shame. You need to live your life. Everything is open to the Lord. Lord, you see everything in my life. Change me. I want to walk in the light as you yourself are in the light. You have to get right. I had a friend of mine tell me just the other day. He was talking to me and he said, you know, for so long my life hasn't been right with God. And he said, whenever I would sit down to talk to someone that I knew was a believer that was walking with the Lord, he said, I could never look that person in the eye because I wasn't living right. I wasn't doing right. And there was such shame, and I'd always look away. And when this guy was talking to me, he was looking straight into my eyes because the Lord had changed his life and there'd been such a difference. But see, we meet the Lord face to face. We see him eye to eye. Are you going to be able to look him in the eye? You got to get right. And then you have to be sure that you're ready. See, I'm talking to two groups of people today. There are those who know the Lord and need to do business with him. Maybe there's some closed doors in your heart. And then there are those here today, you don't know him. And if Jesus were to come back today, you would be left behind. And you need to trust Christ today.
Are you ready to meet Jesus face to face in the twinkling of an eye? If you sense God calling you today, you can do that right now. You see, the only way to be taken in the rapture is to have Christ living in your heart. If you know that you've never given your heart to Jesus, or you're not sure if you're a Christian, you can do so today. You'll not only receive eternal life, but you can begin to experience the victory over the flesh in this life. If you feel the Holy Spirit urging you right now, why don't you just pray a prayer like this with me? From your heart, say, Father in heaven, you sent Jesus to die for me, and right now I want to become your child. Jesus, I repent of my sins. I turn to you. Please come into my heart. Forgive my sin. Save me as you promised you would. Please make me the person, Lord, that you want me to be. I trust you to save me, and I thank you for saving me, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, if you join me in a prayer like that from your heart and you meant it, the Bible assures us that you are now a child of God and nothing can separate you from him. You will be taken up in the rapture. It's important that you find a Bible-believing church and the support of Christian friends to help you grow in your faith. And be sure to let us know about it. We want to rejoice with you. You can go to our website to leave us a note, or you can write to us at From His Heart, Box 7267, Texarkana, Texas, 75505. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Next time, Pastor Jeff will have another sobering message from his Countdown to Armageddon series about what happens after the rapture. The message is called When Hell Comes to Earth. We hope you'll be with us then as Pastor Jeff opens up God's Word and shares real truth, love, and hope from his heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Pastor Jeff Shreve, who believes that no matter how badly you may have messed up in life, God still loves you and has a wonderful plan just for you. Find out what that is at FromHisHeart.org.